Greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
Welcome in to another edition of the Jayhawk Talk Podcast, episode 44. We are the undefeated Jayhawks, 5-0. We have now cracked the top 10, back where the old Jayhawks belong. I am Kevin, joined with me, as always, Andrew. How you doing tonight, Andrew?
Pretty good after this weekend and after these first five games of the Big 12. We're on episode 44, Kevin. That puts us at the Eric Chenoweth episode.
Right.
Or the David Pageant episode.
44.
With that fofo. But arguably, some KU fans may differ, but I hope this podcast goes better than those two gentlemen's careers at KU.
You know, if we make it to 45, we're in the Rafe LaFrenz episode.
Oh, that's going to be a good episode.
A good one, yeah.
That's going to be a recap of TCU episode. It's going to be a good one.
That's going to be a good one. Yeah, good point. You know,
but let's talk about the, you know, in this episode, we'll probably talk about the undefeated Jayhawks in the Big 12.
Mm.
Give you a rundown and a recap of the Oklahoma State game this past Saturday and the Baylor game this past Monday, yesterday for us. We're going to talk a little bit about our favorite subject. One of our favorite subjects is technical fouls.
Yes.
And then probably this is our favorite subject is halftime entertainment, because we were treated to one of the greatest halftime performances that I think anyone could have ever witnessed.
Ever.
And we'll give you a little rundown of that and talk about some of our other favorites, give you a preview of TCU, and then take a look around the Big 12.
Indeed, we will. And, of course, we could not start the podcast without mentioning our podcast sponsor, Johnny's Taverns, who have graciously, again, sponsored this podcast through, you know, episode 44 now. They're still with us. It's kind of surprising, honestly. So happy to have them on board. Certainly go out and check out your Johnny's Tavern for a game. And we will have a gift card giveaway here later on in the show. So stay tuned for that. Andrew, shall we get into this Oklahoma State game?
Let's do it. Cause that was this weekend. Great game.
It was
fun. Oh yeah. You know, I was there.
You were there. I was not.
It was a tough ticket to come by.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just give you a little background. They did, kind of the section color schemes. So there was two sections of red, two sections of blue.
What were you?
I was a red section.
Okay. It's crimson, but yeah.
Well, it's a red shirt, Kevin. Let's be honest. There was no distinct hue of a crimson. It's a red shirt.
Yeah, it looked crimson to me.
I wasn't a huge fan of it said the sixth man or something. Yeah, it's fine. And
whatever.
Said, you know, First Core Bank Trust on the back. It didn't matter. It ended up looking really cool. And I don't know if you played around with this, but the athletic department was part of some deal where they took some 11 billion gigabit gigapixel picture and rotated, and you can go
pretty
and
cool.
Find yourself. I found myself.
Right.
I'm a little blurry because I think I was moving around, but my brother
was probably dancing. You were probably you're probably doing a little dance move. That's probably why they
probably getting crazy. but I could see my brother and a couple other people around us pretty clearly. But that's a pretty cool deal. And you can go in and tag yourself on Facebook. I have not done such. But I think those are pretty cool promotions. A lot of people think that, you know, we're kind of above that. But I don't think so. Those are cool things to do.
Yeah.
I don't think we do it every game. But, you know, it ended up being pretty cool. And, you know, being such a big game, you know, yesterday was loud at Baylor. But I think Saturday was one of the loudest times I've ever heard that place.
Nice. Well, through the TV, the whole color scheme thing looked pretty cool, but it wasn't, you know, they didn't talk about it or anything. It wasn't, I don't know. I'm not big into those kind of gimmicky things because I don't think KU needs to do those things. But like you said, like once in a while, it's pretty cool. And anyway, it looked good on TV and whatever. But yeah, I'm glad you ended up with the crimson. It's nice to have a little different scheme. You probably have a lot of blue. You know, nice to end up with
plenty of blue.
A little crimson. Yeah, once in a while. Not too bad. So let's talk about the game. So there's, you know, a billion storylines from this game. Obviously, score was 80-78, but it never felt like that close of a game throughout the entire thing. You know, beforehand, everyone wanted to talk about Marcus Smart versus Andrew Wiggins, which ended up being kind of a dud of a storyline. And then, of course, you know, Oklahoma State made, like, I don't know, 500 three-pointers in that game, and we still won. That was nice. And a little chippiness to the game. So what was your favorite storyline of those three? I guess the Smart, Wiggins, the three-pointers, and the chippiness.
Well, I'm going to take a little bit side route from the Marcus Smart versus Andrew Wiggins. It kind of showed that when both of those players aren't playing well, each of these teams can still be successful.
True.
And if they've got a lot of other weapons, you know, Andrew Wiggins didn't play well and Perry Ellis didn't play well, but you saw guys like Jamari Traylor step up, Derek Black step up, especially in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
And Nadir Tharp step up. I mean, you kind of, and then of course Embiid step up on Saturday. So it's not just necessarily you take these two guys who are likely to be top five picks and, you know, say this is just going to be a one-on-one game, these two guys versus each other. That's right. Not how it worked at all. It was Kansas versus Oklahoma State in this matchup, and it was two teams going at it. While Marcus Smart was definitely their floor general and still trying to make things go, it came down to other guys to keep them in the game, you know, like Phil Forte, Markel Brown until he got kicked out of the game, LeBron Nash. So, I mean, it really was a team game, team effort on both sides. So it's kind of, you know, for this national media storyline to develop of a player versus a player, you know, couldn't be anything further from the truth as far as what happened.
True story. No, I agree. And the Marcus Smart thing, you know, I think he gets somewhat, or coming into the game, I thought he maybe got a little bit of a bad rap. I know he flops a little bit and does, you know, all the little gimmicky things. But it was like he got into this game and thought, whatever I need to do to get to the free throw line, or whatever I need to do to foul somebody out, or whatever I need to do to, like, get a foul call on somebody else, I'm going to do. And he took, like, his little gimmicky stuff to a new level. And I was kind of joking about it before the game, like, you know, he's going to pull out fake blood or whatever else before the game. But he literally was doing those things. Like, it was driving me freaking crazy. I don't know if it really translated to you guys being at the game, but on TV, every single shot he took, he was doing a little scissor kick, you know, to try to get contact. Every little foul, you know, he was flopping over. He was on the ground on every single defensive possession. And the little elbow, you know, with Seldon, all this stuff. It was just like, you are too good of a player. You are so good. You don't need that crap. And it was just baffling. And to be honest, like, a lot of KU fans were talking about the refs. I thought the refs did a pretty good job because he was doing the shit on every single possession. And they only called it, like, on a few of them. So, you know, I don't know. I think Big 12 refs are catching up to Marcus Smart. But, man, I can't wait to the NBA. He's going to be fined every week.
You think so? You think it's that bad?
Like, here's the
thing. As far as fine, it takes a lot to get fined in the NBA for flopping.
No, I get it.
Did he do anything that egregious?
No, I mean, to be fair, he was not. But it was just one of those things, like, he's so good. And he obviously, his stat line ended up great. He almost had a freaking triple-double. He's such a floor general, like you said. He's, you know, he's passing out assists and just such a strong player. I mean, better right now, better college basketball player than Andrew Wiggins. Like, I'm just easily the Big 12 player of the year right now, whatever. But, like, the guy, like, he doesn't need that crap. Like, it was so obvious on some of the things that he was doing. It was just, it drives me crazy as a like, pure college basketball fan, like, watching this stuff. And it was, I don't know, part of me was kind of proud of the Big 12 refs, you know? They were not falling for it. Which, you know, you see Embiid getting technical fouls and getting a reputation that way. Marcus Smart has a reputation now for being a bullshit artist, and I'm glad that they're catching up to him.
You know, let's talk about Wiggins and are we talking about Wiggins and Smart? You know, they didn't have good games, but as far as on our side, Tharp really stepped up, had 21 points, and six assists, and six turnovers as well. But those came on eight shots, which is pretty impressive to go 21 on eight shots.
Really?
And Embiid almost had a triple-double. We got to get that triple-double alert back out again. You know, with he's gone, we didn't think we'd have to break it out, but got to break it out again. He had 13, points, 11 rebounds, and 8 blocks. And I knew he had around 8 blocks, you know, coming down the stretch, and I was just hoping.
Yeah.
He's just going to pull out two other blocks. I know.
They
I
mean, stopped. They got tired of that stuff.
He changed the game. Jamari came in off the bench, especially played well in the first half, especially. Played 19 minutes, 3 of 3 from the field, scored 9 points. Mm-hmm. And, you know, let's talk about Jamari for a second. His free throw form.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's anybody better on the team with better free
throw
form.
You know, we were sort of joking about that. Remember on the panic button? We brought that up.
But
like,
no,
Jamari Traylor's the best free throw shooter on the team. He actually might be.
this is a good thing. Because last year he struggled. And to have guys that are big guys that are going to get fouled a lot be able to shoot free throws, that's pretty clutch.
Embiid's got a pretty good free throw, too.
Absolutely. I mean, Tariq Black, just to finish this out, played 9 minutes, 4 or 5 from the field, and was a monster in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about our player of the game.
Mm. Here's the three. I'm telling you, he's in a zone right now.
I think you could put a blindfold on him.
I've got him on their feet here, Lawrence.
That is a player. I'm a player. I'm a player.
All right, so your player of the game, Andrew, is who?
It's Nadir Tharp. And I think it would be a crime if we didn't give it to him because he's winning all these national awards for, you know, National Player of the Week. You beat 2 top 10 teams in the week, and he averages, you know, he scored over 20 points in each game and really looked like the best player on the floor for a certain time, you know, in a game full of NBA players on both sides. So, gotta be Tharp. It's, you know, absolutely amazing the progress he's made, you know, just in the past couple months, especially since the beginning of the season and certainly since last season. So, Nadir Tharp, keep it up. Player of the game for me.
Yeah, I think it's easy. Pretty easy decision. I agree. You know, 21 points on 8 shots is crazy. And a lot of those shots, you know, down the stretch were pretty clutch. Like, he's kind of turned into Mr. Clutch when we're really kind of giving up, you know, and the other team's on a run and we really need a basket. He seems to be pulling up with some of those shots and, you know, kind of like an old Tyrell Reed when we really needed a 3. He just kind of stuck one. Tharp's doing that too. So, yeah, I agree. He was definitely the player of the game for me. The 6 turnovers were not great, but you can live with that if he's making 21 points on 8 shots. Let's talk about the WTF player of the game. I think there's a few candidates here. Obviously, we talked about Wiggins, who really struggled in the game. Only played 23 minutes, only had 3 points, 1 of 5 from the field. Just a complete, you know, non-factor in the game. You can also throw Perry out there. He had 3 for 8 for 6 points. Seldon, you know, he had 5 turnovers in 34 minutes, 2 for 9 from the field. Who's your guy?
You know, it's kind of a weird game like this, you know, coming off of a, you know, what can be considered a rival right now, you know, definitely a team that's, we've, you know, circled this game on the calendar, top 10 team coming in. It's kind of weird to have these guys being considered for, you know, this anti-prestigious award on our account, but I'm going to go probably with Wiggins just because of the non-factor. I mean, he didn't even play down the stretch. And had some missteps on defense, which we really haven't seen from him this year. But it's good to see him bounce back against Baylor, which we'll talk about here in a second. But I'm going to go with I'm going to go with Wiggins just because when things weren't going well in other games for him, he still got some rebounds and still played defense, and he didn't really do that in this game.
I agree, but just to be contrarian, I'll go with Perry. Only played 18 minutes. You know, like you said, between these two guys who are leading scorers, they played 18 and 23 minutes between the two of them against probably the best opponent we've played so far. That's crazy. And we still won the game. Like, that's a crazy storyline in itself. But Perry wasn't great. He had 6 points in 18 minutes. He just was not a factor, just like Wiggins. So I agree. It's between those two guys, it's kind of a toss-up. Let's talk about the Floor Burns player of the game.
You cannot hope or wish good things to happen. You go make them happen because we are in attack mode for the entire 40 minutes. We do that, and we're going to have a fun locker room in about 2.5 hours.
I think there's two candidates here, and correct me if I'm wrong if you think of somebody else, but Jamari and Tarik were just clutch in this game. They're both awesome, especially in that first half. Who's your guy?
I think it's exactly right that it's one of those two. I'll go with Tarik just because in the first half, he really gave us a lift. Someone had tweeted out that Tarik Black has 8 points and zero fouls for the first time in his career, which was probably true.
Yeah,
true. But I'm going to go with him. He definitely was an enforcer out there. He's a force to be reckoned with, especially in that first half. So I'm going to go, you know, the intangible toughness that he brought to the game wins him a floor burns award for me.
Yeah, I'm with you too. I mean, 8 points in 9 minutes, 4 for 5 in the field, and obviously the fouls. I think it's pretty easy to name Tarik. Of course,
Go ahead. Before we move on, just real quick, I think this is a kind of a weird game, just in terms of how things worked out. What do you think the game in Stillwater is going to look like?
It's
going to be more of a Wiggins game, more of an interior game. What are we going to do here?
You know, after the game, a lot of people were talking about how, you know, KU survived and you know, it'll be a different game down in Stillwater because, you know, it won't be a big KU lead and it won't be a KU domination. I'm not sure about that because, you know, I think we honestly got one of Oklahoma State's best shots. I mean, Phil Forte had 7 freaking 3-pointers. And we still won the game. I mean, if you were to sign up for 7 threes before the game for Phil Forte, I honestly would have been like, man, we might lose. You know what I mean? That's the thing. Like, they made a bunch of shots, and we still won the game, and we still look pretty good. And it was never as close as a 2-point victory. So I don't know, man. I think that in Stillwater, even with their best shot, as long as we're playing as good as we're playing, I actually feel pretty good about KU. And I agree that I think Wiggins will certainly be a little more tuned in to that game. But at the same time, man, our strength against Oklahoma State is obviously on the front line. I mean, Embiid and Perry didn't play great, but Perry ought to have a field day. And I don't know. I feel like our guys down in the post should be the ones that ended up being our leading scorers in that game. But you got to think Wiggins will be better. What about you?
I think so, too. And I think Smart's going to have a better game, especially shooting from the field. So, you know, maybe you got to eliminate some of these other guys. You got to be ready for the counterpunch from Smart. He's going to come ready to play. But, maybe you know, we're going to have Wiggins ready to play, too. So I think it's going to be a different game. And I think that we, even to a bigger extent, have to take advantage of our interior dominance. Because I don't think we really exploited that all too much. You know, Embiid only had 6 shots.
Yeah.
Got to get him the ball more. Got to get Perry the ball more in the post. Got to get our big guys more in the post.
Maybe this is a story for the look around the Big 12 segment that's upcoming, but is Oklahoma State the best team in the Big 12 other than KU?
I definitely think so. I kind of do too.
Yeah, they get a lot of
pieces. And I don't think it's really close.
Yeah.
I think that's the popular opinion from the beginning of the season is still true. I think that you had some up-and-comers and some other guys come up, like Iowa State.
Yeah.
Baylor's kind of dropped off, as we've seen. I think it's not close. They're our main competition.
I agree. I'm kind of with you there. Anyway, we'll get to that a little later on. Let's talk about the Baylor game, which was this Monday yesterday. We're recording this on a Tuesday. The stories from the game to me were Perry and Andrew Wiggins getting back in the game after having a kind of a stinker games in the Oklahoma State game. A nice handling of one of Baylor's best shots. I think this was one of their, they made a lot of shots. They looked pretty good. And we took their best shot and certainly played pretty well and still won the game. And then the free throw line differential, KU made 26 of 29 free throws in the game, which I think was a huge factor. Any other stories from the game that pop out or one that really stands out among these three?
Just in terms of the matchup, it's not what I expected at all, because in terms of interior presence, Baylor's the only team in the Big 12, I think, that can really match up with us, you know, down on the block. But they really didn't even try to play that. They played a perimeter game. They shot a bunch of threes. They missed a bunch of twos. You know, Isaiah Austin was basically playing the three the entire game.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't really even go into the lane. And he's 7 foot one. That's so I'm not sure what they're trying to do. I don't think they're taking advantage of their size. I mean, they're a huge team, and obviously we saw that with, you know, their success on the offensive rebounds. But I don't know. It wasn't the game that I expected. I thought it was going to be a hard physical game down low, but not really what we got.
Yeah, you know, on defense, it's kind of interesting because they have the length to really bother us. And we saw that a little bit. I mean, they played a little bit of zone, and they're long and athletic. And I think that bothered some of our guys for a while. But, I agree. I think it was interesting because their defensive philosophy, which was, you know, pretty good against us versus their offense philosophy, which was jack threes, was a, you know, quite a bit of difference. You'd think that they would, I don't know, maybe try to keep that a little more equal. But regardless, it was certainly a nice victory by KU, double-digit victory against a ranked opponent. You'll take that every time. Plus, you know, I was a little concerned about this game. I remember telling you this, that after a huge Oklahoma State game where it was, you know, a big primetime stage and a huge, top 10 opponent coming in, we beat them. It was a close game and crazy game that we might have a little bit of a letdown against Baylor. Did not happen. That's a sign of a team that's, you know, mentally tough and mentally strong to come out and still and counterpunch against Baylor. So that was one nice thing I really like to see.
You know, you talk about a letdown. It kind of, you know, who knows what that really means, but it could mean a bunch of things. You know, emotional letdown, you're on such a high from, you know, beating someone like Oklahoma State. But Bill Self said yesterday after the game that the team was just tired. Yeah. So it's not just this whole, you know, this letdown, mythical letdown game that, you know, sports people talk about. It's really also, you know, physically how you feel. I mean, those were two tough, rough and tumble games you have to put your all into. So I can see how, you know, you really got to fight through to get through these, you know, Saturday, Monday turnarounds, especially against good teams like we've been playing. So, I mean, it's not just this, you know, weird sports analogy. It's right. Also because, you know, we're just exhausted. But it's good to get through it.
It was nice that both games were at home, too, because that helps a little bit as well. Let's talk about some stats from the game. Perry Ellis came in, had a good game, 18 points off just 8 shots, 6 of 8 from the field, 5 boards, 27 minutes. Wiggins was pretty good. He was 3 for 7 from the field, but he was really getting in the lane, which was awesome to see. He had 12 free throw shots, made 10 of them. 7 boards, really good game from him. I really like to see him penetrating. And then I thought kind of the guy that didn't get a lot of pub but really played well was Mason. Came off the bench with 9 points and 6 assists against 1 turnover. Self after the game said he was the best player on the court. Who was your player of the game?
Just real quick, on the 1 turnover, did they change the box score on that? Because when I looked at it last night, I think he had 0. So I mean, they may have given him one that... In any case, Frank Mason played great. I don't think I give him the player of the game, but I think it goes... I'll probably go with Wiggins, just because, like I said before, he started to do the other things well when his shot wasn't... You know, he shot under 50%. He was 3 for 7, but really... In the second half, looked to get into the lane, and Baylor had no answer, so they just fouled every single time. And you know that towards the end, that was the difference in the game when he sunk those free throws. You know, that's how we won.
No, I'm with you. I think that Wiggins probably deserves it only because, like you said, he was just being aggressive, and after being just a non-factor against Oklahoma State, it was really good to see him come out and be aggressive. So, and he made his free throws, so good for him. He needs to get to the free throw line 10 times a game. Marcus Smart's got that down to a T, getting the free throw, you know, 10-plus times a game. Andrew Wiggins has that game to do that as well, so glad to see that. What about the WTF player of the game? Anybody stand out to you for that?
I don't know. I just will talk in generalities. I still think that this team has to clean up their turnovers, has to get it cleaned up. That's what keeping this team from being, you know, at its full potential. That's what's keeping it from being, you know, the elite of the elite. If that gets cleaned up, then everyone should watch out, because this team could do anything it wants. And that starts with the point guard position. So, I mean, Tharp didn't have his greatest game. Certainly didn't live up to the, you know, National Player of the Week standing that he has got last week. But he's turning it on. He's got to keep it better. He got to keep everybody in control. And it's got to start with him.
It's a tough job for Tharp because he's got so many guys on the team you got to get the ball to. But at the same time, he's, you know, he's a pretty good offensive player himself. And I don't know. I'm willing to give him a little bit of a pass, but at the same time, he is the veteran on this team, and he didn't play very well in this game, I didn't think. I'm with you. I think he had, 29 minutes and 6 points and just one assist. You want to see a little more out of your point guard. And I know that Mason came in and played a little point and whatever else. He had 6 assists, and that was good. But I agree. I think after 2 awesome games from Tharp, he had a little bit of a letdown here. But at the same time, they won by 10 points over a ranked opponent, so it's hard to really give too much downfall to the point guard, but we'll give it a pass. This was probably the biggest question and maybe the most obvious, the floor burns player of the game, Andrew. I think there's an obvious candidate here with the Seldon dive into the 19th row and saving the ball somewhat. Looked like his foot was on the line and ended up his foot was on the line. But who cares? It was awesome that he dove into the crowd. Is Seldon the obvious floor burns player of the game?
Oh, yeah. I couldn't go to anyone else.
Yeah.
You love that. He's been diving all over the floor. He's won our floor burns player of the week, you know, several times. So he's really getting a reputation as being a scrappy guy. It's definitely in the past couple of weeks.
Love
to see that. The dive into the crowd. The guy got kicked in the face. Got the save to Embiid. Yeah, he may have been on the line. And that enraged Missouri fans.
Oh, but so good.
I don't know why they cared so much.
Who cares?
They blew that up.
Although, you know, after that play, KU went on a 9-0 run and kind of put the game away. So you can like sort of do the little butterfly effect and point back to that play being the difference in the whatever.
Sure, but whatever. But
momentum, but it was awesome.
And it was a great play. He was number one on SportsCenter last night.
Should have been.
Except for, I feel great about the entire play, except for the gentleman in the first row who has the Adidas 3-stripe firmly imprinted on his forehead.
Pretty good article from Fox Sports' Sean Keeler. Pretty good writer. He did the art. He actually went and found that guy. Did you see this article?
Oh, no, I didn't see this.
Yeah, pretty good. Sean Keeler, you can find him on Twitter. I think it's at Sean Keeler. He did an article interviewing the guy that got, you know, stamped in the face. And he was like, yeah, I'm just glad it didn't hit the lady next to me.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah, it was pretty good. And he was like, no, I was really happy with him. I don't care that he even didn't come in to apologize. God bless him. It was just kind of funny the way that he put it. So anyway, it was an awesome play. It was a huge momentum changer. And, you know, glad that Seldon didn't get hurt doing it. But, man, you're right. This and it was another Fox Sports guy, our buddy, a friend of the podcast, Reed Forgrave, wrote a nice article too. He was at the game. He said the thing that jumped out to him is that Bill Self has somehow got first round talent, you know, lottery picks to come to KU and dive into the 9th row to save the ball. Like the guys coming in and just giving their all for, you know, the name on the front of the jersey. And that's something that's pretty cool. I mean, I kind of, as you read it, you're kind of like, man, that's pretty cool. And so I'm glad to see that too. That's pretty cool of Seldon. He hasn't been awesome this year. He hasn't been great. He's, you know, he's been kind of a streaky shooter and hasn't really gotten the paint as much as we kind of thought he would. But you got to love that toughness and showing it. Surely pumped up the team. Anything else from this Baylor game that jumped out, or shall we move on to our technical fouls subject?
Let's move on to the technical fouls.
I'm so pumped.
Been looking
this.
Forward to this.
Yes, and so all right. Do you want to preview this? I'm gonna let you do this.
Embiid had 3 games in a row where he had technical fouls. He got tossed out of the K-State game yesterday. Did not get one.
It was so close.
He at the very first minute or so, there was something happened. But yeah. So he ended the 3-game streak of technical fouls. And we're thinking that it was because he ran out of ideas. Because obviously he was trying to get one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just what he's going to do.
Well, so, you know, we're on a winning streak every time that he gets one.
So, yeah, we're talking about superstitions.
Right.
right? You gotta keep doing what you're doing.
Correct.
So he just forgot or didn't know what else to do. So we decided to just do a little segment here, a few minutes of coming up with ideas for him to do to get technical fouls.
To get a technical foul.
Try to get a technical foul.
And because, Andrew, this is really important. This isn't just like, you know, being dirty or anything like that. No. There's two things. One, superstition, because we've won every time he's got a technical foul. So it's really important to get one. And two, it seems to kind of pump up the team a little bit every time there's a little scuffle or a little something. And so, you know, all we're trying to do is just, you know, get the guys a little jacked up, get the, you know, obviously the W every time we get a technical. So we're here to help. And like you said, he didn't get one this last game and he ran out of ideas. So do you have an idea for the next game? We're going to play TCU next on Saturday. Any ideas for him to possibly come up with that technical foul?
Yes. My first idea would probably be to call Michael Crabtree or another player mediocre.
That's a good one.
And to say that, you know, you can't put a weak player on me like that.
And put like a little choke sign. And
yeah.
And
no, that's for Kaepernick. That was for Kaepernick.
We track down Aaron Andrews and yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, just pull a little Richard Sherman action
like
and
that.
Go a little nuts. That's my first.
You know, he has here's my idea. He has a soccer background, a volleyball background. Maybe maybe take the ball and just spike it into the crowd. He was like, as he gets it, just do a little like toss it up to himself. Maybe, you know, I don't know, maybe Mason like does a little like nice two-handed set.
Sets it to him. Maybe spikes it.
Just spikes it at the TCU announcer crowd or something. That'd be
spikes
pretty good.
Spikes it right under John Higgins' forehead.
Mm-hmm. That'd be good. So that's an option. Yeah, we're just spitballing here. Like, do you have another one?
You know, it's kind of played out with the throwing the chair onto the court, you know. Bobby Knight did that and got kicked out of a game.
Sure.
I think he should grab Tyler Self and throw him onto the court.
That's
Tyler
Self's
been wearing a suit lately.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta do something bigger, something heavier.
Right.
Just literally pick up Tyler Self by his collar, by his belt, and just toss him onto the floor.
That's a really good idea. And I think that'd probably pull off a technical. That's a good question.
Unless they thought it was funny, because it's going to be hilarious.
Problem. Yeah.
They could just like let it go, like, oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Probably more likely that way.
Yeah, he'd probably get a technical, but, you know, no. Here's another one. So, you know, I've always wanted this to happen. It's never happened to my recollection. Correct me if I'm wrong, but you take the basketball and you, like, put it under your jersey and just walk around with it. So you got, like, a big old belly and just walk around in front of the refs and, like, do a circle. I've always wanted that. And then, you know, like, hand it to him, like, or maybe like lay on the ground and give birth to the basketball or something, like with the basketball going into your shirt. I've always wanted that to happen. Have you seen that?
These are really good. But what I think we should do from here is make this our Johnny's gift card giveaway.
There you go.
And send us on Twitter. Kevin is Jayhawk Talk. Obviously, mm-hmm. You know him. And I am Sherlock Hoops. Let us know what you'd like to see a technical foul be given for. Just, you know, if you're living in a dream world, like, what action would you want to see from Embiid or from anyone else to get a technical foul? What crazy thing can you come up with? Send us on Twitter. If you come up with a funny one, we will literally give you $30 in
literally.
Johnny's cash. You literally can use it
$30.
On chicken fingers. You can use it
Buffalo
on
Buffalo chicken dip.
Buffalo chicken dip. Whatever you want. So,
Espinaca.
I am at Sherlock Hoops. He is at Jayhawk Talk. Let us know what you think. You could be $30 Johnny's cash richer.
Mm-hmm. It's worth it. So send us yours. Andrew, let's transition to the Big 12, taking a look around this conference.
Y'all ready for this?
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
How about playing a little defense? You ever heard of that one, Stan?
BCS.
Dollar signs.
Andrew, KU is 5-0 in the Big 12. Undefeated at this point with a two-game lead over two teams. This is kind of a shocker. Texas and K-State are the next two teams in second place there. You've got OSU, OU at 3-2, Iowa State, Tech, and Baylor at 2-3. Baylor at 1-4, and TCU at 0-5. I don't assume those rankings will set up with your power rankings. So let's talk about that this week. What is your Big 12 power rankings?
Okay. Well, I mean, it's interesting because you're totally right that it doesn't line up with how good I think these teams are as they currently stand and how good I think they will end up at the end of the season. Mm-hmm. But let's give it a shot. Tell me if you disagree with me as I go along. I think the best team in the conference is University of Kansas Jayhawks.
I like that.
Is this correct?
I agree with that so far. I think you're in a good pace.
And I think, you know, even though they're I guess a half game back, I put Okie State number two, Oklahoma State Cowboys number two. I think that, you know, they fought tough against us on Saturday. They're the other team. They're our main competition here. Oklahoma State number two.
Oh, bye.
Okay, so number two, then it gets a little tricky.
It gets tricky, doesn't it?
You're going up against teams that, you know, have shown some flashes, or you give it to a team that, you know, had some success in the Big 12, you know, not necessarily considering schedule. But I still think I'm going to go with... Yeah,
it gets tough, man.
You know what? Nope, I'm going to go K-State here.
Really?
Because, yeah, whoa. I'm going to go K-State here. Not necessarily based on how good I think they are, but, you know, they've got the resume. They've got their 4-2. That's, you know, fairly successful.
Lost to Texas tonight on the road.
They did lose to Texas tonight on the road. So you can't really take too much into consideration.
Interesting.
There.
I think I disagree.
I don't think they're going to stay there, but that's where I put them. Who do you put three?
I think I'm still putting Iowa State there, but I agree. It's so close between that 3-5 range between K-State, Iowa State, Baylor, and K-State and Texas, actually,
and
3-6.
Yeah.
Is all just, I mean, I don't even know what to do with those. So yeah, I won't like knock you for ranking any of those any direction, but yeah, that's tough, man. That's really tough. You know, K-State getting the win against Oklahoma State, I sort of buy them being number three, but I just don't trust in them, man. That's the thing. We beat them by 26 freaking points.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, if they can beat Iowa State this weekend, then we can have a more definitive answer.
Then we can talk.
But, yeah. What's that?
I agree.
Yeah. So if the number four, you know, this, I think we keep Iowa State there. You know, and you have this K-State Iowa State battle for that three spot. You know, Iowa State's got to win this game to really keep up in the conference. If they want to have any shot at trying to win this thing, this is a must win for them. Otherwise, it's going to shift to, you know, just trying to keep a good record for the tournament. Otherwise, who are we missing? OU and Texas?
Oklahoma and Texas and Baylor.
I'll probably go with OU because OU beat Texas, but that means I'm putting a 4-2 team at number six, and I kind of contradicted myself by putting the 4-2 team at number three because they were 4-2. So, you know, this is messy.
It's tough,
this is tricky,
man. It's early, though. It's still early.
This means that I'm putting Baylor at seven, and I still think that Baylor is an incredibly talented team. And, you know, I've said this on the podcast before that Baylor, I thought, had a chance to finish number two or near the top. So this goes to show. But I still think they're a talented team. They just happen to have a 1-4 record in this here Big 12 conference.
Are they out of it? I mean, that's the thing. Like, they needed this game against KU.
They're not
pretty bad.
They're not out of it, you know, real, like,
no, I mean, like,
in terms of math wise, but in their heads, are they thinking they're out of it? I'm thinking probably so.
They've had a front loaded schedule, but freaking so is KU. I mean, KU has had a really front loaded schedule. That's the thing that scares, I think, a lot of the Big 12 is we probably should have some losses by now, but we don't. Here's my question real quick.
Sure.
You know, we talked about KU and Texas and K-State and Oklahoma State, and OU and Iowa State and Baylor all having, you know, a pretty good, non-conference resume. And then, you know, some of these teams have looked pretty good in the Big 12 season so far. Is there a chance that we can get seven teams in the tournament?
Absolutely. And I think I saw a mock bracketology thing today, I believe on Sports Illustrated, that had seven. And, you know, it's going to depend on the lower half, especially Texas needs to get a couple wins. You know, it looks like OU is going to be able to sneak in with some with a couple good wins, you know, against especially if they can beat Okie State coming up. But you know what? Seven is realistic. And I think
crazy.
And I think that not only are they going to get in, I think the Big 12 is going to be fairly successful in the tournament. You know, there's going to be, you know, some beating up on each other, which is going to kind of lower the seeding just because, you know, we're going to have different types of records. So I think that, you know, they're going to be underseeded in the tournament and, you know, just generally and do fairly well. I think this is going to be a big year for the Big 12 in the tournament.
Yeah, you might be right. And it's so interesting because this was a conference that I think a lot of people maybe overlooked a little bit, especially on the, you know, the middle, the back end of the conference. I think a lot of people obviously thought KU and Oklahoma State were going to be good and Baylor and Iowa State were going to be okay. And then nothing. I mean, then I think you and I even were like maybe, you know, underselling some of these other teams. But, man, it's been a really good conference. And RPI number one. And I think a lot of people are starting, you know, pundits and whatever are starting to say, man, the Big 12 is the best conference in the nation, which is just crazy to think about. Just, I don't know, it's just crazy to think about. It's obviously a reason why KU has made such a big jump in the rankings, being a four-loss team, already went from, I don't know, wherever to, and obviously now in the top 10. So as a four-loss team, being the only four-loss team in the Big Ten or in the top 10, pretty cool there. Obviously, we're not, you know, big into rankings or whatever, but nice to see KU get back there. And I think a lot of people are starting to realize how good this conference is and maybe how good KU is. Is KU the hottest team in the nation right now?
You got to think so. Yeah. You know, there's a couple undefeated teams that, you know, haven't lost, so they're pretty hot. But, you know,
four
in terms of
ranked teams.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I think everyone's heard this statistic. Hasn't happened since 1997 that a team has beaten four consecutive ranked teams in a row. And it's not only that just in spacing apart in terms of teams we've played that have been ranked, the last teams that have done that have been fairly successful in the tournament. I don't know if you saw that Fox Sports image that popped up, but in pretty good company with the teams that have beaten so many ranked teams in a row. You know, it's going to be, it's if we can keep getting improving on this team, and I think that there's still a lot more to go, and you know, you just got to keep sharpening everything, and there's going to be opportunities to get better because you know this schedule does not get much easier.
Yeah, I agree with you. And, you know, we talked about this, you know, onslaught of games to start out, this first seven games. I think a lot of people were, you know, we were talking about 5-2 or 6-1 being a great start. But like you said, I mean, the next game is obviously TCU, but then we got Texas, we got Iowa State, then we got Baylor on the road. And some of these games, I mean, there's not really a lot of bye weeks in the Big 12 this year, which I think is a good thing. I think it will honestly keep KU, you know, emotionally and mentally involved in every game. And that'll be good to, you know, kind of get ready for the Big 12 tournament and obviously into the postseason. So pretty exciting. Honestly, I think it's a good thing, first of all, that we had this crazy tough schedule to start in the non-con. And then obviously a really good thing to see the Big 12 being good, because we're going to be prepared for just anything we see in the tournament. And that is certainly one nice thing to see. Shall we talk about some predictions for the week in the Big 12? We got
sure. I did get a little call from Stat Boy.
Uh-oh, what Stat Boy?
Old friends of the program.
Long-time
so those of
listeners
you
might know
who have
Stat
been
Boy.
With us from the beginning will be familiar with Stat Boy. Stat Boy called me up today. Yeah. He said, listen to your last podcast. All of your Big 12 predictions that you said last week were wrong. And I said, well, you can't listen to it after the games are going on. Cause,
were they really?
Yeah, we were wrong on all of them.
Are you serious? We were really wrong on every single
one?
That's crazy.
I don't know if it was every single one, but he said, yeah, that was pretty embarrassing.
That's hard to do.
I know. We opposite
parlay?
I think that we were talking about Baylor, and we said something like, oh, they'll beat OU. Oh, they'll beat Texas Tech. Like, very dismissive.
Oh, yeah.
So, for those of you out there in podcast land, just know that we're pretty terrible at these predictions, except for the KU game.
I had a really bad week in picking games. it goes right along with.
You got to adjust to conference season. It's, you know, we're not doing too well, but you know, it's Big 12. It's pretty tough, but let's talk about this real quick. A couple of the notable ones. I'll just run through them real quick, and you give me your pick, okay? I'm going to put this on you, so when you miss all of these, that boy's going to call you.
Perfect.
And call you out. Okay, so first one, Texas Tech at West Virginia.
West Virginia.
TCU at OU.
OU.
K-State at Iowa State.
That is going to be a really good game, and I'm excited for that game a lot. I'm going to take Iowa State in a squeaker, probably a last-second shot like tonight.
Okay, Texas at Baylor.
Another really good game. This is going to be a fun week for the Big 12. Texas at Baylor. I'll take Baylor because they freaking really need a win.
West Virginia at Oklahoma State.
Oklahoma State.
Oklahoma at Tech.
I'm going to take OU. Although, yeah, that's an interesting game. Tech's playing pretty good right now.
Okie State at the Sooners.
Ooh, another awesome game. The old battle of Oklahoma here. Man, that's a tough one. I want to get your point on this one because I think it'll be interesting. I'll take OSU, but I'm not feeling great about it. What about you?
Oh, that's tough. I think I'm going to go with the home team. I mean, it matters a lot in the Big 12 as far as...
fun game to watch. Man, there's some good games in the Big 12 this week, except for KU.
Yeah.
KU and TCU.
West Virginia at Baylor.
I'm going to take Baylor there, too.
I think this goes on to Monday. And then Texas Tech at K-State.
I'm going to take K-State. So, yeah, there's a few really good matchups.
I think so, too. I mean, this is really going to have some separation, and we're going to see... These are the standings in the Big 12 kind of establish itself a little bit rather than this kind of everyone is probably tied for second or third.
The big one, like you said, K-State at Iowa State. I think that'll be a huge game. If K-State wins that, then we might be talking about, like you said, K-State being a legitimate threat and number three in the Big 12. And then the other one, Oklahoma State at OU. I think those are the two awesome games of this week. So
I would also say that Texas and Baylor... If Texas can win, then I think we can consider them a true contender for this conference.
Right.
And if Baylor wins, then, you know, maybe Baylor can put something respectable back together.
And Baylor's got two home games this week. So if they win both of those, they'll get right back into at least respectability. So, yeah, it'll be an interesting week in the Big 12. Hopefully KU gets that 6-0 victory there at TCU. So let's talk about TCU a little bit. This will be on Saturday night. TCU is 9-8 and 0-5 in the Big 12. Their best win on the season from an RPI perspective is against Washington State. Of course, they did sweep Tulsa in two victories this year. The old Danny Manning team, Tulsa, although Tulsa was playing a little better recently, so I don't know if they'd beat them now, but TCU hasn't looked very good. They've not been very good.
You know, our old pals, Longwood. We played Longwood a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. Very memorable game. Lots of jokes made about Longwood.
Mm-hmm.
But in this season, Longwood is RPI ranked 342 out of 351 teams in Division I basketball. And TCU is their only win of the year.
Ouch.
So that kind of goes to show you is maybe slightly improvement from last year, but they still lost to a team like Longwood. That being said, we said all of these things last year.
True story.
Okay, we can finally take a breather. And we went into Fort Worth and played probably the worst game that I've ever seen play.
Probably.
At any level of basketball. We definitely... need to get rested up a little bit because Bill Self, you know, mentioned we were exhausted, but got to keep our heads straight. Got to go in, get a win from the Horned Frogs down there in Fort Worth. No easy games in the Big 12, especially road games. What do you think?
Yeah,
what's going to be the result here?
I expect the spread in this game to be like, I don't know, what do you like 14 points? I mean, does that sound about right?
14? You know, Oklahoma State beat them by 29. I don't know what it was, but it's a big number.
You think it's going to be more than that?
I think it's going to be more than that, yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe you're right. I don't know. Anyway, I think we ought to win by 20 plus. I mean, if I'm just throwing it out there. But, You know, it's a young team going on the road, and TCU, I think, is better than their record, and I still kind of like their coach, and I still kind of like some of their pieces, but we ought to win this game. I actually thought about going back to our podcast from before and after the TCU game last year just to hear what we said, but I didn't want to rehash that.
Now, that's moment, just one so. Thing. You put it behind you, yeah. And you never revisit it again. One of those games that
I thought,
you know,
about
if,
it.
If we were, you know, saner human beings, we would just call it the game that will not be discussed. But, you
honestly,
know,
I think that was our take, if I recall. I think we were literally like, this was such an aberration. This was such a confusing outcome and a confusing game that we're just not going to acknowledge it happened.
Yeah, just ignore it. That's the best way to deal with your problems. Just ignore it.
I think that was probably the right approach. Anyway, whatever. So hopefully this year we have a better outcome at TCU. We should have pretty good KU contingent there. At TCU, there's a lot of KU fans down there, so that will be good. It will be interesting to see, but we will certainly be watching that one. Shall we move on, Andrew, toward our Johnny's gift card giveaway? Of course, we want to acknowledge that our friend of the podcast, Ryan Knobloch, was the winner of the previous $30 gift card. And of course, to receive the $30 gift card this week, you just need to send at Sherlock Hoops and at Jayhawk Talk your suggestion for Embiid or, you know, whoever else to get their technical foul, because every time we get a technical, we win the game. And you can also include Bill Self in this, because Bill Self has been pretty renowned of getting a technical and then we win the game. So another one to potentially think about. As we get out of here, Andrew, we've got, we got a 5-0 team. We got a team that's back in the top 10. I don't know about you, but it kind of feels good to be back in the top 10 and being a team that everybody's talking about again.
Got our swagger back, Kevin.
Got our swagger back. Yeah, I agree. It's nice, you know? You and I discussed after that 9-4 or 7-4 or whatever. I don't remember. It was a long time ago. I don't want to think about it, but it was a little bit down, but I think everybody, including you and I, thought this is a good thing. We got this non-con schedule giving us some good tests, getting ready for the Big 12, and so far it's paid off. So certainly nice to be a KU fan at this juncture. Shall we get out of here?
Let's do it. Rock Chalk Jayhawk.
All right. Rock Chalk Jayhawk. Thanks again so much for listening to us. We really appreciate it. Check us out on iTunes. Subscribe to the podcast. You can get the podcast to your iPhone or iPad or iDevice right away as soon as we post it, sent to your device. So subscribe to us. We really appreciate that. Leave us a comment on iTunes, a rating. If it's a good comment or even a bad comment, we'll probably read it on the next show. So consider that. Leave us a comment. We really appreciate it. Thanks so much for listening. We really appreciate everything you guys are doing for us. We will catch you next time on Rock Chalk. This for my J-Hawk fans, for my J-Hawks. This for my J-Hawk fans, for my J-Hawks. This for my J-Hawk fans, for my J-Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby. I tried to tell them every time we on the court. I tried to tell them that we never coming up short. I tried to tell them that we came here to get the win. I tried to tell them that they should never let us in. They say that we the best, but I say we the greatest. That's why they try to knock us down and always seem to hate us. That's why they talk about us. They know they can never fade us. It's tradition and that Kansas pride that has truly made us. They know just how we feel. They know at Allen Field that we gon' keep it real. Shout out to Bill. This for them fans that waited off in them long lines, camped out before the games, and they stayed a long time. Every dollar that we spend just to watch our team win, on a Jayhawk shirt or a new clean Benz with a sticker on the back with the K and the U. Uh-huh, yeah, baby, that'll make you say, ooh. We at the top of the top, just like we should be. Started from the bottom, thanks to what James could see. Dr. Naismith made a game for man, changed lives for the players, and did the same for the fans. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it.
It's for my J-Hope fans, for my J-Hopes, hope. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby. All them years that we've been cheering, everything that we've been hearing, all them spreads that we've been clearing, never been no team we fearing, and look how Bill got us steering, all them tournaments appearing with no team that's interfering, nine times get to cheering with them banners held high, and the crowd going wild, night before the final four, you can't even sleep now, yeah we at the peak now, we can't even leap down, March Madness, man, we've been waiting weeks now, if you a Hawks fan, go ahead and hold them ones high. Shout out to the boosters showing love and the alumni. I'm speaking for the fans, even though I'm just one guy. We appreciate the love, love won't run dry. Imagine the state of Kansas with no Jayhawks. That's like having no streets but trying to jaywalk. They see us as support and we see them on the court. So we keep it loud and do our best so we don't come up short. We win together and we lose together. But win or lose, we still booze together. Struggles in my life will change me as a man. But one thing that'll never change, I'll be a Jayhawk fan.
I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces. I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces.
It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks, Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks,
it's
baby.
It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks.